The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1969, it had all led up to this.
Astronauts report it feels good. T-minus 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9... Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Roger, we got a roll program.
Tower cleared.
Roger, roll.
Apollo 11 lifted off on a four-day journey to the moon and what NASA hoped would be the successful moon landing that had been ordered by the end of the 60s by President Kennedy.
Apollo 11, this is Houston. You are go for TLI. Over.
In 1994, astronomers all over the world had a ringside seat for the solar system's best fireworks show as the shredded fragments of comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 slammed into the huge planet Jupiter. The collision had been predicted a year in advance, giving astronomers time to line up their telescopes for the event. Best of all, NASA's Galileo uncrewed space probe was already on its way to Jupiter, and it had a close-up view. In 2011, NASA's Dawn spacecraft entered orbit around the large asteroid Vesta. In 2013, what should have been a routine spacewalk outside the International Space Station turned into a race to get back inside when water began to collect inside one astronaut's helmet, presenting a real risk of drowning in his own spacesuit.
Snoopy Cat. I see beads of sweat. No, it's not sweat.
No, it's not sweat.
Hey, Luca, can you clarify, is it increasing or not increasing?
It's hard to tell, but it feels like a lot of water.
Oh, I see, I see it now, wiggling. Can you see? It's over here, right?
Yeah, but I have that, and then there is about the same amount of when I took the helmet down last time, Chris.
Really?
Yeah, I can feel it in the back of my head.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand where it's coming from. It can't be the water.
It has to be the bag. Oh, so that stuff on your forehead is not sweat?
No, it's not.
Oh, I see.
And Chris and Shane, FYI, I feel a lot of water on the back of my head, but I don't think it leaks from my bag.
And Luca, we copy.
Italian astronaut Luca Parmitano was able to get inside safely, and once he got out of his spacesuit, it was discovered that half a liter of water had collected inside it, and that the water was affecting his vision, his ability to breathe, and the suit's ability to filter out carbon dioxide.
Hey Luca, can you give us a status of where you think? It sounded like we just heard you cannot hear. Is that true as well?
But where is it coming from then? It's too much.
I don't know. It's a lot.
Nice, my eyes.
Staying you back with us?
All right, Chris and Luca, just for you guys, based on what we heard with Lucas saying that water is in his eyes now and it seems to be increasing, we think we're going to terminate EVA case for EV2. So, Luca, we'll have you head back to the airlock. Chris, we'll get a plan for you to clean things up here and then join him here in a minute.
Hatch is open, Shane. Luca's going to the crew lock.
Copy, Chris. Sir, thanks.
Equipment lock.
The crew bringing Luca through the hatch into the equipment lock. They'll be expediting the removal of his suit. You can see some of the water floating away that had built up inside of Luca's helmet. Helmet off and Luca safely back inside.
Born on this date in 1915, actor Barnard Hughes. He was Mr. Merlin on TV, and on the big screen, he was the gatekeeper of the I.O. Towers in Tron. Science fiction writer Robert Sheckley was born today in 1928. Also born today in 1946, actor Richard Leparmentier, whose storied career is somewhat sadly best remembered for the role of the first person Darth Vader was ever seen to choke with the Force.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture, no matter what technical data they've obtained.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes, or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Enough of this. Vader, release him.
As you wish.
Born in 1956, actor Jerry Doyle, who played security chief Michael Garibaldi on Babylon 5.
I was assured that Captain Sheridan or Commander Ivanova would be available.
They got called away on urgent business.
What kind of business?
I'm not authorized for that kind of information.
But you're the head of security.
And what kind of head of security would I be if I let people like me know things that I'm not supposed to know? I mean, I know what I know because I have to know it. And if I don't have to know it, I don't tell me, and I don't let anyone else tell me either. Now, look, we've tried most of the other ambassadors. Why don't you speak to Jakar? Maybe he knows something about this ship.
Under the terms of our recent treaty, I am not authorized to have any official conversation with Dinan without Centauri approval.
So you'll ask unofficially, and I can give you reasonable assurances that the head of security will not report you for doing so.
Because you won't tell yourself about it.
I try never to get involved in my own life. Too much trouble.
This is a very strange place you have here, Mr. Garibaldi.
Thank you.
On this day in 2017, George A. Romero, horror movie director extraordinaire, died. So did actor Trevor Baxter, whose one-off appearance as fan-favorite Doctor Who character Professor Lightfoot was popular enough to bring the character back in a 21st century audio series.
Right, what have I a tale for you?
Come in. Why don't you, Jacob?
Professor George Lightfoot. Henry Gordon Jago. I've been expecting you.
Always wanted to find a secret passage. Come on!
In 1976, principal photography wrapped on a little movie called Star Wars. But when director George Lucas returned to America from months of filming overseas, he found that his hand-picked team of special effects experts, Industrial Light and Magic, had fallen behind schedule. In 2004, the Stargate saga went underwater.
We are about to try to make a connection. We have been unable to predict exactly how much power this is going to take, and we may only get the one chance at this. So if we are able to achieve a stable wormhole, we're not going to risk shutting the gate down. We'll send in the MALP robot probe, check for viability, and go. Everything in one shot. Now, every one of you volunteered for this mission, and you represent over a dozen countries. You are the world's best and brightest. And in light of the adventure we are about to embark on, you're also the bravest. I hope we all return one day having discovered a whole new realm for humanity to explore. But as all of you know, we may never be able to return home. I'd like to offer you all one last chance to withdraw your participation. Begin the dialing sequence.
The two-hour premiere of Stargate Atlantis made its debut on the Sci-Fi Channel, which had rescued Stargate SG-1 from cancellation on the Showtime pay cable channel a few years before. And in 2017, a special trailer on BBC One revealed the first woman to play the part of Doctor Who, Jodie Whittaker. Her first episodes wouldn't air until 2018. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphordot Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks or anything you might want to order from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. Our original designs can be found on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page on thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Eleven, Houston, the definition is pretty good on our monitor here. The color's not too varsity, at least on this set. Could you describe what you're looking at, over?
Roger, you're seeing Earth as we see it at our left-hand window. It's a little more than a half Earth. We're looking at the eastern Pacific Ocean, and the north half of the top half of the screen, we can see North America, Alaska, United States, Canada, Mexico, and Central America. South America becomes invisible just off beyond the Terminator or inside the shadow. You can see the oceans with a definite blue cast. See white bands of major cloud formations across the Earth, and can see coastlines that got the western U.S., San Joaquin Valley, the Sierra Mountain Range, the peninsula of Baja California, and can see some cloud formations over southeastern U.S.
Hey, world, hold on to your hat. I'm going to turn you upside down. 11, Houston, if you could comply, we'd like to see some smiling faces up there. If you could give us some interior views, I'm sure everybody'd like to see you, over. That's Big Mike Collins there.
Well, you got a little bit of... Yeah, hello there, sports fans. You got a little bit of me, plus Neil's in the center couch, and Buzz is doing the camera work this time.
Roger.
Well, I put on a coat and tie if I'd known about this ahead of time.
Is Buzz holding your cue cards for you, over?
Cue cards, have a no. We have no intention of competing with the professionals, believe me.
The Rock Boy Dr. Mr. Pod was created and produced by Earl Kane.